Our God is a missionary God, and we are His missionary people. You're listening to The Sent Life, the official podcast of the Center for Great Commission Studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
You want to know how to make a Christian stressed out? Ask them either about their prayer life or their evangelism. Today on The Sent Life, we're going to talk about evangelism and why you should not be overly stressed about it. And a few tips, hints, and some tools that can make you a more effective evangelist. Welcome to The Sent Life. Well, today I'm in the podcast studio here. Keelan is out of the country. This is our spring break, so he's on a mission trip this week. We have several mission trips going out from Southeastern during our spring break. So our students are all over the world. If you can think about that, if you just say a quick prayer, ask the Lord to bless them, protect them, give much fruit to the work that they're doing. But today we want to do something a little different on the podcast. We're going to flip the tables just a bit and introduce you to the guy who's actually the mastermind behind The Sent Life, and that's Timothy Waters. Timothy does everything that you hear except the actual voices, and he makes us sound a whole lot smarter than we are. Timothy is our podcast engineer, and he's in the studio today. We're going to talk about evangelism. So, Timothy, welcome to this side of the microphone.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's kind of weird to be on this side, but I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you always do a great job week to week. You cut out our ands and uhs and buts and mistakes and everything like that, and then today, pressure's on, right?
Right. Right. I'll try not to mess up too bad.
So, Timothy, you are, tell us a little bit. So, you're a student at Southeastern. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What brought you here? Where are you from? Stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I'm from Lexington, North Carolina, originally. For a while, I'll just kind of give you my brief condensed testimony. Ministry was never really an aspiration for me. I actually wanted to do physical therapy for athletes for the longest time. And it wasn't until I was a junior in high school, the Lord really got a grip of my heart and flipped that completely,
right.
And I knew that ministry was what He was calling me to. So I knew I wanted to do something with students, student ministry of some kind. At the time, I thought maybe youth pastor is what that was. And so the question became, okay, well, where am I going to study? And a friend of mine told me about Southeastern. I came, I toured, and loved it, fell in love with it. About halfway through the tour, I looked at my dad, I was like, I have to go here. So started the following year in the college at Southeastern, studying a BA of student ministry, and then just graduated in May, last May, from with that degree, and knew I wanted to continue education. But as I've been here and hearing Dr. Aiken talk about the question of, hey, the question that we should ask is not why should I go, but why should I stay?
Right.
Really being at Southeastern has forced me to ask myself, why has my default been to stay in the United States? And the Lord has really been pressing on me. I don't think it is for me. And so, yeah, in my time here, the Lord's really put a desire in me to go to the nations. And so now I'm studying an MA in intercultural studies and would still love to serve with students, but there are plenty of students overseas. I know that, and would love to go wherever the Lord leads.
Great. Great. So, man, I'm glad you're here. So before we came on, you mentioned that even though you'd been a Christian for a long time, that you'd you'd never been evangelistic. Obviously, you told people you were Christian, so it's not like you were, you know, hiding your faith, but you never really intentionally shared the gospel with anybody, but you've seen the Lord do some things in your life that's made you more intentional in your evangelism lifestyle. Talk to us a minute about that transition. What is it that maybe sparked a fire or gave you some tools that has really kind of turned the page on your seeing evangelism as something to pursue in your own life?
Right. So I'll start by saying this is, you just already kind of mentioned it. Evangelism is a very new skill for me. It's not something that I've practiced for a long time and been good at for very long. And I would say even still, I'm still growing in this and it's a very developing skill.
As we all are.
Right. And so, yeah, before I came to Southeastern, I had never formally shared the gospel.
Sure.
Didn't know really what that looked like. Didn't really have the kind of the tools necessary to do that. It was just not something I really asked about or thought about. But when I came to Southeastern, one of the first classes that I took was our evangelism class. And I was like, man, I'm really lacking in this area.
Okay.
Like, this is something that I've not been dedicating a lot of time to. I've not been really intentional to seek out unbelievers and share the good news with them. So I was really convicted in that class. But throughout my time here, there have been several things that have contributed to the growth in that. The Lord's really been kind to give me opportunities to grow in evangelism. when I was in the college, there was a group of people who would go knock on doors every Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Okay.
And so very out of my comfort zone. That's not something I'd done before and was very uncomfortable at first. But just after consistently doing that for a while, it started to not just be more comfortable, but it was something I was excited about.
Okay.
I got excited about Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Yeah. And by God's grace, we actually saw someone come to Christ through that consistent ministry.
And that'll mess you up, right?
Right.
Like the rest of your life, now you're thinking, right, hey, this actually works.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, that was one thing that was really formative. Another thing is just, I think, the consistency with which it's talked about here at Southeastern.
Okay.
Hearing everyone talk about, hey, like, we need to be going to the nations. We need to be even speaking to our neighbors about,
right,
the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's something that's heavily talked about at my church. They're very good at hosting regular evangelism trainings. And so just, I think, the environment that the Lord has placed me in at this point in my life, I can't avoid it.
Sure.
And I'm grateful for that, yeah, because that's something that I've been lacking in for most of my life. And now I'm seeing opportunity after opportunity to grow in it. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Good. So let me ask you, when you, before you came to Southeastern, both the way that you became a Christian and your other experiences in your church, you said you had never shared the gospel. Had you ever even seen someone share the gospel with anybody or watched someone become a Christian through evangelism?
I don't think I'd ever seen it firsthand.
Yeah.
I definitely heard stories,
sure,
from people that I was close with who had shared the gospel with others. There were several missionaries who had been sent out from my home church,
sure,
and hearing their testimonies of just people coming to Christ from various places on earth, it was something that I heard fairly regularly.
Sure.
But as far as just kind of everyday evangelism, that's not really something that I talked much about with other people,
yeah,
or really had some firsthand experience with.
Yeah, you know, that's my experience, is that most people that I talk to, students especially, when we talk about evangelism, one of the missing pieces isn't compulsion. We know we ought to share our faith. It's not really even tools. I mean, we've been given tools. You see, you know, I learned three circles and all these other things. So we know. But if you've never seen somebody do it, mm-hmm, then you almost don't know how to get started. You don't know how to, you know, make this thing work. And so a little bit about just experience helps. And so one of the things that our listeners can pay attention to is that when we are working with younger Christians or working with people, sometimes being that model, that example that lets someone see that this can happen,
mm-hmm,
really makes a difference. And again, to your point, when somebody then becomes a Christian, well, all kind of lights go off then,
right?
Now you think, oh, wow, this is awesome. And everything turns upside down. Now, coming to Southeastern, you hear people talk about evangelism, talk about missions. You're in a good church. Y'all do. You talk about missions. But part of your shifting in life isn't really, it's not this guilt-driven, hey, you ought to do this. When we came on, you said there were some other things that God just really, mm-hmm, did in your life that sparked this. No, this is something I want to do. So you're not evangelistic out of guilt.
Right.
You're evangelistic for other motivations. So talk about some of these motivations, some things you've learned.
Yeah. So there's several.
Yeah.
So I'll try to hit just some of the main ones.
Sure.
I mentioned before just the way that I think Southeastern talks about it, my church, okay, talks about it, is not one that's guilt driven.
Okay.
It's very love driven.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about evangelism now, I think what was lacking before, and it's still something that the Lord's doing in my heart, is if I'm going to share the gospel with other people, I've got to love, first, mm-hmm, of all, the Lord, and I've got to love other people more than I love myself, mm-hmm, and my own comfort.
Okay.
And that, for the longest time, was not the case. Loving comfort as an idol,
sure,
it holds you back from really being willing to share the gospel when it's going to demand discomfort.
Right.
It's going to demand an awkward conversation, probably.
Sure.
No matter how good you get at evangelism, there's always going to be a level of
awkwardness. Awkward.
And you just kind of have to embrace that. And, mm-hmm, so I would say that the biggest thing that the Lord is, I mean, it's just sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lord is working in me by his kindness and through people around, mm-hmm, me who are talking about evangelism, and through my personal time in the Word with him.
Sure.
I think that if I had to point to the main thing, it's that the Lord is working in our hearts. And so if we're not sitting with him regularly, if I'm not sitting with him regularly on a daily basis and investing in time with him, I'm not going to feel any,
sure,
love for other people that drives, okay, me to share this good news that I have with them,
right,
because I'm not savoring it myself.
Hmm.
And so I would say that's probably the main thing. I would also say, and I know this is not for everyone, one thing that has been specifically formative for me in wanting to share the gospel with other people has been learning a language.
Okay.
So I'm not fluent, but I've been learning a language for about a year now,
okay.
kind of off and on, but I've been learning a little bit of Mandarin Chinese. Okay. And that kind of came about randomly.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really even point back and tell you exactly why I started besides I started a little bit and I was like, man, this is fun.
Cool.
And people around me were like, Timothy, that's not normal. Like, so I tried to embrace it and continued in it. And when you invest in a culture like that, when you start to learn a language and learn a culture and learn about a people group that speaks that language, the Lord does something in your heart. And you start to pray for them. And when you pray for them, that just does something even more in your heart because you want these people to know Jesus.
Right.
And so another thing that he's been doing in me is just pushing me to go and just go to local Chinese restaurants,
okay.
share the gospel with people. And I think learning about the different kinds of people that live in our world and the different cultures that are even represented here in our own country
right.
is another way that the Lord has developed my heart and pushed me to want to share the gospel with others, not out of guilt, but out of love.
Sure. So now you have been practicing evangelism. It's become more of your prayer life, your thought life, your compassion, your love for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how you've developed this skill of kind of recognizing the opportunities to share the gospel or realizing, you know, now may be the time. Because obviously you don't walk down the street and just talk to every single person that you see.
Right.
There's something you sense, you feel, you kind of get this impression. When we talk to people about evangelism, they often say, I'm just not sure how to get started.
Yeah.
You know, when to start? How do I know what's happening? You talked a little bit before we came on that, you know, you're through practice and maybe some of the teaching here,
mm-hmm.
that God's given you some tools, some insights, some confidences in his work in the world.
Right.
So talk a minute about how you see opportunities and find them.
Right. I think a lot of times, and especially before, my default was I'm not going to have a gospel conversation with someone unless I feel this particular leading from the Lord.
There you go.
And now, especially, again, just being in this environment where it's so heavily talked about and the Lord continuing to work in me, I'm realizing that's the wrong default.
Sure.
My default instead should be, man, let me share the gospel with everyone I possibly mm-hmm. can. And if there's an opportunity where I think I can have a gospel conversation and it gets shut down, then, you know, just pray for that person, you
sure.
know. But I think instead of thinking that our ordinary conversations should just kind of be divorced from a gospel conversation, mm-hmm. instead looking at every opportunity that we talk to someone as an opportunity to share the good news about Jesus with okay. them has been really helpful for me. Especially when I think about the fact that my purpose in being here is to make him known
sure.
among all people. And so when I interact with others, it's not about, man, you know, I hope this is one of the few gospel conversations I get to have this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's, man, like I'm expecting to get to share to work the gospel into this conversation somehow.
Good.
So yeah, I would say just changing that default from looking for some particular leading from the Lord to, like, let me share the gospel with whoever I can, whoever
sure.
will give me an ear,
right.
Has been huge. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways I would say.
Yeah, and so talk about the way you see God working in your life and that you've seen God working in the lives of others as you have been, you know, pursuing evangelism as a lifestyle.
Yeah, I would say it's always awkward when you're first starting to share the gospel. It's,
right.
It's never going to just magically come to you as this. I mean, some people are just naturally evangelistic.
Sure.
I am not that way.
Sure.
I'm pretty introverted,
right.
which when people think of evangelists, they tend to think of extroverted
right.
folks who are just really, who could sell you anything. So I think for one thing, I had to recognize like when I'm sharing the gospel with someone, I'm not, there's a book that talks about this. I'm not a used car salesman.
Sure.
And so I'm not trying to just sell something. I'm talking about something that's very real in my life. And so one, I would say, as I've shared the gospel more consistently, helps me to treasure the gospel more deeply.
Okay.
It's made me more grateful for what Jesus has done for me because I'm talking about it often. Something, again, that's talked about here at Southeastern pretty often is the need to preach the gospel to yourself daily.
Okay.
And when you're sharing the gospel with other people consistently, you can't help but hear the gospel over and
yeah.
over and over. And it just makes you grateful. Man, like, I'm sharing this good news with other people because I've experienced it. Like, thank you, Jesus. So that's one thing. I would say it also, it gives you a deeper, as you share the gospel with other people, it gives you a deeper love for them,
okay.
For the lost people in the world, the lost people that we encounter on a daily basis. Even though I'm, so like most of my circles are believers.
Yeah,
I'm at a Christian seminary. at a church. That's where most of my community is.
Right.
A lot of my friends are believers. Most mm-hmm. of my friends are believers. And so it's easy for me to, I could make excuses and mm-hmm. say, well, I don't really encounter many unbelievers, but that's just not true. Right. We encounter unbelievers on a daily basis everywhere we go.
Sure.
Every time we go through a drive-thru, right. every time we go into a restaurant, every time we go to, you know, the grocery store,
sure.
we encounter unbelievers everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so the real question is, are we going to seize those opportunities mm-hmm. and really use those to make Jesus known to them?
Right.
And so as I've shared the gospel more consistently, he's made me more aware of opportunities
okay.
as well
yeah.
that I might have passed up before mm-hmm. or seen that as, well, that was a very brief interaction. But people are looking for it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I realized that until I started sharing the gospel more and more. And now people they're asking questions mm-hmm. and they want these questions answered. So yeah, there's several things that the Lord has done and shown me through this, but those are some of the main ones.
Yeah, and so you talked about seeing in other people that they're open to spiritual conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, research really bears this out.
Right.
The research that we have done, that we've seen, Lifeway Research has given us opportunity to see some of this, really bears out the fact that unbelievers are not hostile toward spiritual conversations. Mm-hmm. In fact, we live in a broken world.
People, right.
You don't have to convince somebody that this is not the way God intended
exactly.
this world to be. It's not that everybody's looking for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
And it's not that every person you talk to says, oh, yeah, I want to become a Christian. But the fact is that people look around and think, man, there's got to be an answer.
Yeah.
Right? And so you talk a little bit about before we came on, how the circumstances and situations of other people's lives kind of becomes this signal. It opens the door for gospel conversation.
Right? Right.
Talk a minute about how you've been able to see and experience in, you know, in conversation with people, how their life mm-hmm. really signals an open door and how God has led you in some of those conversations.
Yeah. I could give you a ton of stories about just people are hurting.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through difficult things, and believers have a hope that mm-hmm. helps them to endure those things. And people who don't have that hope they're scraping for something.
Sure.
They're looking for something. And sometimes they think they found something.
That's a good point. That
and
sometimes
so,
they think they found the answer.
Right.
But we all know it's a dry well.
Right. Exactly. And it only lasts for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And when that thing goes away, it leaves them even more hopeless. And
yeah.
so, I mean, there's been conversations that I've had, even just at the barbershop. You
okay.
know, when you're at the barbershop or the hair salon, you've got someone's ear for at least 30 minutes, you know? If you're on an airplane, you've got their ear for a while. And so I try to take advantage of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. If there's nowhere else for them to go,
right.
then I'm like, well, let's talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, but the way that we can kind of work those gospel conversations into those ordinary conversations is by, like you said, talking about the things that they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
There's the old saying that says, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Sure.
They don't want it to feel like it's a sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that you're actually caring about their lives.
Sure.
And so as believers, we're called to love people like Christ loves people.
Right.
And so it should be a more natural, like, hey, I'm investing in mm-hmm. you. I want to know who you are and your story. And let me tell you the hope that I have. And as I've had conversations like that, I've talked to people. I talked to a lady who had a really difficult story. Her husband had attempted to kill her at
wow.
one point and was hurting. And now she was just trying to kind of pick herself back up
mm-hmm.
and just a lot of hurt in her story. And then talked to another lady who was just kind of uncertain about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her, like, you know, when you're uncertain, how do you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you turn to whenever you're uncertain like
right.
that? So just asking them questions about things that they're going through. And I think a lot of times you'll find they don't really know.
Right.
They don't know how to cope with that.
Sure.
They don't know how to make peace with what they're going through, because their answer is often either I don't know or, well, you know, I just try to, you know, be a good person.
Do the best
I
can.
You know, I just do the best I can. You know, I try to love other people even though I've been hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to find a way through it. And so that's an opportunity for me to say, hey, can I tell you exactly how the Lord
yeah.
has changed me and saved me and the hope that he's given me whenever I go through difficult things?
Yeah.
Because he can do the same for you.
Yeah.
And so looking for those opportunities, people are going through things.
Mm-hmm.
People are hurting. And so when we look for those identifiers in conversations, mm-hmm. asking them about those, first of all, to say, hey, I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, hey, let me meet your need with a savior.
Right.
Is something that I found super helpful in being able to share the gospel with others.
Good. Hey, Timothy, thanks for coming to this side of the microphone and talk with us a minute about how God is shaping you.
Yeah.
Kind of transforming your life in to someone who's finding ways to embrace his mission. And I appreciate those of you who are listening, paying attention, listening to this episode of The Sent Life. You know, as we have said week after week, you know, our God is a missionary God. His great passion is that people would know him, and that those knowing him would tell others about the good news. A lot of times evangelism is no more than one beggar who has found bread telling people who are starving where to find the bread of life. And so that's what evangelism is. We appreciate you tuning in this week to The Sent Life. And Timothy's come on this side of the microphone just to say one thing, and that is that any of us can share the gospel. It's not a personality thing. It's not a knowledge thing. It really is that God has given you everything you need to be effective. And so we'd encourage you to do that. If you liked this podcast, feel free to pass it on to other people. You can reach out to us if you have questions or insights. You can write us at the CGCS at sebts.edu. So thanks a ton for tuning in. This is The Sent Life.
Have you been called to ministry? There's never been a better time to answer God's call to prepare at Southeastern, because many of our students are able to receive rigorous ministry training in our MDiv program at little to no cost. Visit sebts.edu/MDiv to find out how you can get your MDiv fully funded today.